You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, getting swooped on by a magpie, it's pretty much the worst thing ever.
I agree. I had an issue with a magpie. Also plovers, if you're familiar with the plovers.
What's a plover? Describe a plover.
It's like got the little yellow beak and it's got a bit of like a black and white feathered body. Quite small.
Hang on. A black and white feathered body with a yellow beak. I'm pretty sure that's just a magpie who's dipped its beak in yellow paint.
No. It's an actual bird. Yeah, continue. I'll check.
Getting swooped on by birds, it is terrifying. And I think swooping season starts pretty soon. It might have started already, if not very soon. And a guy has come up with a very unique way to apparently not get swooped on by a magpie. Oh, here we go. You're showing me a picture. Is that a plover?
Yeah. So have you never seen a plover before?
Okay. It does have a yellow beak.
Yeah.
I'd say it's white and more grey.
Yeah, that's...
If I'm being critical, it's which not... I am.
Yeah, but... Have you never seen one? You've never known what a plover is?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not a bird expert.
You don't need to be an expert.
Well, clearly you do.
Have you seen one?
I don't know, probably. No. It hasn't registered in my mind. It's just some random stupid bird with a yellow beak.
So when you go about your earthly duties, right?
My earthly duties.
You don't... If you spot a bird, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know what it is... You don't A, ask anyone, or B,
no.
Check.
If I'm walking in the park or something like that, I see a random bird, I don't immediately sprint to the nearest person and kind of, what is that bird? And they go, I don't know.
Well, maybe you should be more inquisitive about the world.
Maybe you should be less inquisitive about birds.
Well, regardless, I now know that they swoop and I stay away.
That works for you. You've learnt.
Yeah.
And Simo, this guy has also learnt, he's come up with an incredible skill to help not getting swooped on by birds.
Mm.
His name is Magpie Mark Musket.
Wow.
And he has got a, quote, incredible ability to warble like a magpie.
Oh, okay.
He says he's kind of always had this skill, but only since lockdown got bored and went and took this skill to TikTok, and it's gone kind of viral. He's not far off the 100,000 likes milestone.
Wow. I wonder if this is like a genetic thing, because you know how it's like genetic code, whether you can whistle or not? Like for those that physically can't whistle.
Yeah, I can't whistle.
It's a genetic thing. You can't do it.
Liking coriander as well.
So it's probably the same with this.
Well, Simo, this guy, he says that he warbles like a magpie and talks to them and calms them down and tells them not to swoop on him.
Mm.
Simo, what I've done, I want to put you to the test this morning.
Awesome.
I've got two grabs.
Mm. Am I translating?
No.
Oh, damn it.
You can give it a go if you want. But Simo, I've got two grabs.
Yep.
One of them is this magpie Mark Musket warbling.
Okay.
One of them is an actual magpie.
Right, okay.
I want to see if you can guess... Which one is which? You up for this?
Yeah, I'm so keen.
All right, go. So this is grab number one.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Well, I'll hear number two.
Okay, well, here's number two.
Oh, that's the guy.
Yeah, that's the guy. when on its own, it does sound like a magpie, but when side to side with a magpie, you realise, it's a bit off.
That's clearly a real bird.
Well, anyway, this guy claims that he does just that, warbles to magpies, and they don't swoop him.
Fair enough. Each to their own. What do you reckon he's... What, in the dictionary, is he, like, reading something else? Don't swoop me, please. I'm on my way to the pub.
Well, I mean, if this guy actually can communicate with magpies, it's quite a fearful skill he has. You know, he's, don't swoop me. Swoop that guy over there. Go get him.
Every few millennia, evolution leaps forward. And it's just him in the corner going like...
Simo and Jordan.
And going to the pub, it's something that we have to wait really to do. You can go, but you have to be careful with the amount of numbers you take with you.
Yeah, 100%. You can go out and support local business, but just got to be careful. I think you have to be seated when you are drinking. You can't like stand up and drink. But 100% check the New South Wales Health website for all the details on that.
Now, there were three friends, Luke, Dan and Matt, that went to a pub over in England over the weekend.
Oh, I'm glad you said England. It just sounds like an Aussie fairy tale. There were three friends that went down the lane to the nearest pub.
And it turns out these three mates were a team of treasure hunters.
Okay.
So they took their metal detectors with them.
Okay.
And decided they'd check out the back.
Ah, the back of the pub.
Yeah, so they like left the back of the pub. There's a bit of a field behind the watering hole.
Okay.
And took to their work with their metal detectors.
What do the COVID restrictions say in regards to metal detecting behind a pub?
I don't know.
Like, I've read the regulations if you want to go into the pub and socialise and do all that sort of stuff. But in terms of hanging around behind the pub with a metal detector?
Unclear.
Okay.
So what they've ended up finding is a estimated $130,000 worth of coins dating back to the 15th and 17th century.
All right, well, next time my friends tell me to go to the pub, I'm going to say no. Okay, hang out behind the pub.
So that's not bad. A couple of schooners and then $130,000 better off.
Look, it's not a bad day, put it that way. When did you say these coins are from?
15th and 17th century.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're still using like shillings and gold pieces and stuff like that. So you can't immediately find these golden pieces, these coins from the 15th century and go and use them in a pub. I don't think they'll be accepted.
Yeah, that's fair. So also, I really enjoy how passionate coin collectors get about their craft.
Why, do you know some coin collectors?
Well, these guys he sounds pretty excited about the whole scenario.
We started digging them out. I found the first one. Then I found another one very close to it. Spoke to Matt. And I said, Matt, there's going to be another one. It's exactly the same signal. Dig that up. He did. It was the same. Then he found one the same right on top of the surface.
Does this just go on for a while?
Yeah, it's just like the
found $130,000 worth of this stuff.
We've had an amazing day. It started off really
well. And then
there was
another one.
And then there was one more. He's a quarter stater, beautiful rose gold, really rare one, lovely, beautiful coin.
And now
we're picking up.
You know the people I feel sorry for? Old mate who is in the 15th century, who was just on his way to the pub,
got to
the backyard and then just dropped $130,000 worth of change on the floor. Oh, now I can't go and get my beer now.
So can you think of any other coin collectors that, you know, get really excited about their haul?
I don't know any coin collectors.
Really? Well, there's a really famous one called Smaug. Have you heard of Smaug?
I'm pretty sure that was a character in The Hobbit.
Yeah, he's a...
Something made of gold.
Sounds really similar.
Oh, it is The Hobbit one.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I thought there was an actual coin collector called Smaug. Like some American dude or something like that is on Instagram.
Yeah, so you can tell. I can't really tell the difference. They're both so equally passionate about their coin collecting.
Something made of gold.
And then you've got the other guy.
Quarter stater, beautiful rose gold. Really
look,
rare.
There are some minor differences, I'm not going to lie.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, prison-related movies. Can you name a few?
Oh, Longest Yard.
Yep.
Starring Adam Sandler. Also, I mean, the one who flew over the cuckoo's nest is kind of more a psychiatric ward, but it is a prison.
Mm-hmm.
The one with Morgan Freeman and the guy digs the tunnel with the spoon.
That is the one that I wanted to talk about. Shawshank Redemption.
That's the one.
Is the one that you're talking about.
How often do you look at a man's shoes?
Sometimes you take your shoes off in the studio so I can kind of smell that you don't have shoes on.
How often do you smell a man's shoes?
Even less. If you haven't seen Shawshank Redemption, a character called Andy Dufresne, whose actor's name escapes me at the moment.
Yeah, he's very he's very blendable, that guy. Mm.
Anyway,
find out.
Whatever his name is. He is in prison and he digs a tunnel over the course of like 20 years or so in order to escape.
That's right.
Now, Simo, a remarkably similar thing has happened in a Ukrainian prison.
Wow, Tim Robbins was the actor.
That's it. I knew it was Tim something. I was going to say Tim Burton, but I was like, no, that's a director.
Timmy!
Well, Simo, a remarkably similar thing to what happened in The Shawshank Redemption has happened in a Ukrainian prison. However, kind of the other way round, if that makes sense.
Some guy used a spoon to dig a hole into a Ukrainian prison over 20 years.
Someone was digging into a Ukrainian prison. So in the movie, Tim Robbins, whatever his name is, digs out of the prison.
Yep.
However, in Ukraine, a mother has been arrested because she was trying to dig her way into the prison to free her son who was serving a life sentence for murder.
Whoa. Okay, there's a bit to unpack.
Yes.
Yeah, it goes to show the lengths of a mother's love far out.
It's quite a story. So this mother, she dug a tunnel 10 feet deep.
Okay.
That started off in a field just outside the prison.
Yeah.
So 10 foot underground and then had got about 35 feet towards the where the prison is when she got caught.
Got caught under rock, or as in got caught by police?
No, got caught by the police are like, why is there this big hole and tunnel going into our prison? This shouldn't be here. And then, yeah, that's how she got found out.
Wow.
Even similar to in the movie Shawshank Redemption, Tim Robbins uses like a tiny little pickaxe type thing. That's more or less what this woman used. She only used small shovels and pickaxes, managed to dig the tunnel, working at night not to attract attention, which is exactly what happens in Shawshank, and had to use kind of a little trolley to kind of take all the dirt that she was digging out and kind of scatter it around the field. Because, you know, you can't put it in a big pile, otherwise that would be suspicious.
Right. How long was she at it, do you know?
She was at it for, I think, a couple of weeks before she got caught.
Well, she's making good going then.
Yeah. Pretty much. The tunnel, if you have a look at some of these pictures, it's kind of unbelievable. It's like, you'd be able to crawl through it and not much more.
So, I just had a weird, like, an odd thought. Is she in Ukraine? Has she just been, like, sitting back watching old taped reruns of, like, Better Homes and Gardens and then had a thought about how she could free her son from prison?
I don't know what episodes of Better Homes and Gardens you're watching. I haven't seen any of the presenters go, all right, tonight we're going to paint a park bench. What are you up to? Oh, tonight I'm going to dig a tunnel and get a convicted murderer out of prison. Dr. Harry, mate, just calm down, mate. Like, seriously.
Harry's practicing. Yeah, I'm just going to... I haven't actually made a successful tunnel yet.
That chef guy, whatever his name is, just digging. He's quite tall. He'd probably be the worst person to dig a tunnel.
Still watching Better Homes and Gardens in the Ukraine. I don't even think it's on anymore here.
I don't even think it's on. If it's anywhere. On in Ukraine and it's on here, I would be surprised.
Oh, well, so she's now going to be doing time in the cell next door, I assume?
And then I'm assuming it's the dad's job to start the tunnel building.
Wondering what dad's watching, so, like, how he's going to plan his jailbreak.
I hope he doesn't see Chicken Run and tries to make a plane out of chicken coops.
Simo and Jordan.
It's time for a love chat. Love a good love chat. And this time it is the unconditional love of a woman to her pets, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I mean, not just women, men can love pets as well.
Oh, but this specific one. Her name is Alina Walsh. She's from Townsville.
Okay.
And she has found an injured animal, an injured creature. She's found an injured creature and nursed it back to health.
You're not telling me what the animal is, so I'm going to guess it's perhaps not a cliche pet like a dog or a cat or something like that.
No, she's also been awarded the PETA Australia Hero to Animals Award.
Oh, as in PETA, the animal protection people. I don't know what PETA stands for.
So it's the animal rights group.
Yeah.
And you can see the creature that she has nursed back to health.
Oh, is that the... I'm looking at your screen now on the other side of the desk.
Hot damn.
And so that is the creature that she has chosen to nurse back to death.
Well, you...
to nurse back to death. other way around. Well, what I was going to say is, like, a lot of people would see this creature in their house and maybe attack it with the bottom of their shoe or a rolled up newspaper.
That's correct.
In an attempt to kill the creature or shoo it out of their life.
I am more of a glass cup and A4 piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah.
And then be free out into the garden, as it were.
I'm more of a kill it with fire.
Right. So she nursed a huntsman spider back to full health. It had two legs when she took possession.
Okay.
And she did a quick Google, realised that they do regrow their legs in around 2 weeks.
Do they grow legs back?
Uh-huh. Spawn of Satan.
Spiders have just become even more terrifying.
So she found the injured spider in her home. She fed it water and small cockroaches, and it regrew its 6 new legs after about a month.
And then she just released it into the wild?
Unconfirmed on that.
And then it lost its legs again and was knocking on the door. Can I come back?
Yeah, probably got treated better than it ever has before.
Yeah. So, Simo, have you found a two-legged huntsman around your house?
Yeah, no.
Get a nurse back to life, or...?
No, I can't say that I have the same, like, intent as our dear friend from the coast of Australia.
Mm. Well, I guess lockdown, you've got to do something to pass your time.
Oh, there's a good option, I guess.
A lot of people have just gone with Netflix. This woman's gone with growing spider legs.
Yeah, so I've also checked. She's got some other pets. She's got a pet tarantula and a scorpion. So I haven't... There's no word on whether or not...
Oh, what? The spider's been released?
Yeah, nah. So,
oh, well, she probably now has a pet huntsman as well.
It might be kept hostage.
I don't think it can be held.
Can you ransom a spider?
It's not if you've nursed it. Not if it was about to die because it had lost six of its legs.
But she could be ransoming legs. If she's got some kind of sick spider leg operation.
What are you trying to say? There's some side hustle where she's illegally selling huntsman legs on the internet to, I don't know, people who eat them or whatever.
Look, this love chat went a little bit sideways.
I know, it's got very downhill very quickly.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
What are we dealing with right now, Jordan?
Well, Simo, right now, I want to talk about the round ball game. Also known as soccer or football in some parts.
I need a vuvuzela.
What's a vuvuzela?
Do you remember the South African World Cup that was the sound of the trumpety things?
The crowd had.
The vuvuzelas.
That made the annoying kind of honking noise.
They still haunt me.
Mm. Well, Simo, I'm not talking about a vuvuzela, but what I want to talk about is red cards in soccer. Simo, you're a big soccer fan.
Yes.
And if you get a red card, you have to do something bad. Is that correct?
I've never had a red card. I've had plenty of yellows.
When you're playing soccer?
Lots of yellow cards.
Okay.
Cynical fouls and talking back to the referee, don't do it, kids.
Mm-hmm.
But never a red.
We'll do it a little bit, just so you get a yellow, and then don't go. So, like, a yellow is like half, and then if you get a red, you're sent off, and that is it. You cannot take part.
That's right.
In the rest of the game, and your team is a man down.
Walk the line.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash.
Well, Simo, there is a brand new thing that has been added to why a player in any form of soccer could get a red card, and that is if you deliberately cough at either another player or a match officials, you'll be shown a straight red card.
I heard that this morning. So, effectively, is this because it's already begun? Like, players have started doing it, so they're like, well, we could have, normally this wouldn't be a card offence, but now it is.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether it started happening or not, but this has been brought in because of, obviously, coronavirus and all that sort of stuff. And I think just generally, even in the pre-COVID world, if you were going to cough on someone, that's just disgusting, and you're a bit of a tool.
Yeah, I think now it's obviously been brought to the fore because of the conditions.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of life.
So, Simo, the FA, who apparently make all the rules for soccer worldwide, have said that if you cough at another player or an official, it's the same as using offensive language or abusive language or gestures.
Profanity. Right, okay.
Although they've done like a full press release and all the rules and sort of stuff about this that they've have to give it out to everyone, so they know the rules. This is my favourite thing, though. It says, quote, "If it were a clear accidental cough, then the ref would not take action, nor if the cough took place where there was a large distance of play between the players."
So what happens? Like, how do they determine that? Do they take the cough to tribunal?
I don't know. How can you accidentally cough on someone?
Yeah, does the cough have to, like, plead its innocence? Like, I wasn't being serious?
Does the referee have to carry around a decibelometer kind of if the cough reaches or it goes off the scale, then no, that's a red card. But, oh, no, that was only a 7 on the decibelometer. You're fine.
That would actually work because...
No, it wouldn't.
No, yeah, it would. Because in a full stadium, that would be an issue because there's lots of crowd noise.
Yeah, there's 60,000 people in the grandstands.
But there's not.
That's a good point.
They're empty, so that would work.
I think you can still have a few little people. Like a few...
just little.
No, not little people.
A few goblins.
Or, I mean, a small amount of people in the stadiums in Australia.
Right, I was like, they're only letting the kids in? What are you saying?
No, so you, God, imagine what happens if a fan accidentally coughs on someone. Oh, jeez, all hell would break loose.
They'd be giving red cards to the crowd. You, E5, red card. You're out of here.
Oh, there's no one in E5.
I'm on E6. You know who I'm talking
to. Yeah, close enough. Go away, mate. So, Simo, are you going to go back to playing soccer and going to start coughing on people?
No, not particularly. I don't even think that there... Previously, locally, there's been a few comps going on, but I think they've been put on hold momentarily.
Mm.
So, I don't have a decibel meter. Is that even a thing, by the way?
Look, I think it is, but from what I gather, it's not something you just carry around in your pocket.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember... don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah.
That should do it.